Henry.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show when we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. Later on tonight, Vernon Dozier, the high school educator, the teacher who was with us last evening, has asked for an opportunity to talk to the father of the young lady who took great exception to his opinions on George Zimmerman in the social studies class there at Belmar Academy. And he will do just that. We're going to have Brett Buford on, the father of Karen Buford, and the teacher and the parent will go at it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. That is our live streaming video of our show, the video cast we call Phil TV. You can get a backstage pass and watch that. Thousands of hours of archive material is there as well. And speaking of things that, well, not speaking of, but introducing the topic of things that are free, we have a podcast coming up, a free podcast, a Phil Henry podcast very soon. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, forgive me, I don't have the exact date, but it nonetheless is a momentous day. It is the day that Osama bin Laden was neutralized, killed, if you will, terminated with extreme prejudice by members of the United States Navy, specifically Navy SEAL Team 6. This was the more I read about this, and I don't know if how much you guys have read, but the more you read about this operation, you got to sort of be impressed a little bit with Obama, because not that you wouldn't be impressed with him otherwise, but maybe even a little bit more, because here's the thing. He had Robert Gates against the idea, Joe Biden against the idea. People were weighing in for a surgical missile strike of some kind. People were weighing in for some kind of an action that would force the people out of the compound. Like, believe it or not, they were thinking of stink bombs, things like that, to force everybody out of the compound and take everyone prisoner and not kill anyone. And there were a myriad of plans that were presented to the president, and it was he. And he alone that said, no, we're not doing any surgical strike, we're not doing any stink bombs, we're not doing this, we will go with the Navy SEAL plan. So I think there's some people that may think, you know, Obama, you know, is always Mr. Liberal, ultra-careful, anti-military kind of a guy. Not necessarily the case. Bobby Dooley is joining us here on the line from the Western States Homeowners Association, a member of Angels on Our Shoulders, which was a big group supporting the candidacy of President Obama. And joining us now as we look toward the first anniversary of this particular day when bin Laden was taken out. Bobby, you know, as a supporter of President Obama's, obviously you're very happy. I guess as an American, we can all look at this anniversary as a good thing.
Oh, I think so, Phil. There's no question that as a supporter of Barack Obama, I was hopeful that a new president, a Democratic president, a progressive president, would roll back the role of the military in U.S. foreign policy. I was hopeful that we would not have to put men in harm's way, or men or women in harm's way, although, as a member of Angels on Our Shoulders, I think it's important to be clear. I think clarity is very important. And honesty. And so when I say that we're putting men in harm's way, we really are putting men in harm's way.
But we have women in the military.
We do, but I don't think it's honest. It's not in keeping with the policy of our group to say men and women in harm's way, because it really isn't. But that's beside the point. The point that I'm trying to make is it is a proud day, and there's nothing really the Republicans can do about it. They're angry. They're upset. They have been making statements about how President Obama should not be using the killing of bin Laden in any political way.
Well, I think that they were saying, Republicans, in the story that I've got here, and yeah, it's from Fox News.
Well, right there, it's you're going to have some bias.
But nonetheless, Republicans fired back Friday after President Obama's campaign released a web video touting the president, okaying the bin Laden raid and suggesting Mitt Romney would not have greenlit the historic mission if he were commander-in-chief. In a statement circulated Friday evening by the Republican National Committee, Senator John McCain said that it diminishes the memory of September the 11th and the killing of Osama bin Laden by turning it into a cheap political ad. Obama's Republican rival in the 2008 presidential campaign called it shameless and pathetic.
Well, I think that that is, I think that's going to be expected from John McCain, and I think it's going to be expected from the Republicans to take any, you know, just facing the reality of what was done. When it had to be done and someone had to do it, and they had to get in and they had to do the very tough work of going in and killing Osama bin Laden. It was President Obama that, as they say in the military, he's the one that pulled the trigger on this deal. And I think it's a little, it's not very becoming, I don't think, of the former Republican presidential candidate to start to, you know, sort of beat his fists on the wall and kick his feet and sort of wiggle around in the high chair crying.
Well, the high chair. I mean, do you think he's being childish?
Well, it sounds a little bit like, believe me, I'm a mother, and when I hear someone sort of scrunching their face up and crying and wah, you know, that is really what we're hearing from Republicans. And I think it makes them look bad. I think that, to be perfectly honest with you, I think it makes them it makes them look bad, and it also you sort of enjoy it a little bit, seeing just how petty they can get.
Bobby Dooley with us here from Angels on Our Shoulders, a group of people that supported very much the candidacy of President Obama in 2008 and do in 2011 or 2012. And, you know, all hail President Obama is your message as we lead up to the first anniversary of the death of bin Laden.
Well, I think he's the one that gets the credit. There's no way that you can't just acknowledge and accept that it was really a Osama bin it was a Barack Obama, excuse me, and I'm not going to apologize for that slip.
Well, people do it though, and it is kind of an embarrassing slip, you know.
Well, no, it isn't. I mean, I've heard too many people apologize. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. You know, I made a mistake. So, you know, people are going to have to live with it. I think that this was an operation planned by Barack Obama, and
it's not that difficult. The difference between the two names is not that. But Barack Obama is our president. Osama bin Laden.
I understand that, but I don't want to give people all this, you know, ammunition for going, oh ha ha, you know, because what we have leading up to the anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden, there's a lot of hurt feelings, and a lot of your Republicans are going to get. They're going to get ugly and say things that maybe they don't mean. And we just want them to know that we're here, we're on guard for it, and you can't get away with it. President Obama is the one that pulled the trigger on this. He's the one, as you said, Phil, he's the one that greenlit the SEAL operation. And the other ones, you know, that they wanted to do...
The other ideas that they had...
You said that they wanted to do a missile strike?
Yeah, the other ideas they had was a missile strike, and there were some other limited, more limited and more long-range or more technologic ideas they had for taking out this man. Joe Biden was against the operation, and Robert Gates, and both of them felt that it was going to fail. They thought, especially Gates, felt that it had a very high percentage. It was too high a percentage. I don't know what you call it. It had too much of a percentage of failure built into it, or something.
Well, not built into it.
Well, yeah, I know. I don't know how those guys say these things, but I'm drawing a blank.
Well, it had a very high percentage of negatives, I think you could say.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Ms. Dooley. A high percentage of negatives. Gates thought. That they stood to lose people, meaning SEALs, and they stood to, there was a very good chance that bin Laden wouldn't be there. you know?
Well, this is why, you know, Barack Obama's president of the United States. This is why he's president. When you're president, and the vice president is worried, and the secretary of defense is worried, and this person's worried, and that person, and everybody's worried, and everyone's saying, no, 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 no. When you're the president of the United States, you have to think more clearly and see more clearly than anyone else. And Barack Obama, I think, you know, I just think it's a really embarrassing, this is going to be a very embarrassing couple of weeks for the Republicans. Because Barack Obama showed a clarity of thought, a commitment to, you know, the neutralizations of the, you know, the enemy combatant, which in this case was Osama, you know, bin Laden. And so the neutralization is what I was looking for, is what they do when they kill.
Yeah, there's a lot of fancy words. They killed him.
Yeah, they killed him, but it was not, you don't go, oh, I'm going to go kill him. You say, there's going to be a neutralization, or I got to, you know, I have to, what did you say about being prejudiced?
It's a line from Apocalypse Now, you know, terminate with extreme...
Yeah, terminate with extreme prejudice, exactly. And my husband, Steve, was telling me that, right, Steve?
Yeah, well, they don't tell terminate with extreme prejudice, but they do. And Republicans didn't do it. Republicans never do it.
Well, but that's what they did. And this is a call that a president makes. And this is why so many of us were proud of President Obama on that day, and will be again on the first anniversary. And this is why the Republicans are sort of rocking their high chairs back and forth. And I'm sorry to use that term, Phil.
Well, I think it's a little bit, it's a baiting term, and it may not be applicable when you say rocking their high chairs back and forth. You know,
I'm telling you, I'm a mother, and I've seen it, and I think they're being a little bit childish with this.
All right, Bobby Dooley with us here as we talk about the first anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden. President Obama using the news and using his administration's decision to kill Obama in the way, or kill bin Laden the way that they did, being used for a campaign ad. And the Republicans have reacted very negatively. Bobby Dooley is with us saying that the Republicans, you know, they just have to suck on it. There's nothing they can do about it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll take your phone calls for Bobby Dooley from Angels on Our Shoulders as we talk about the first anniversary of Osama bin Laden being killed by the U.S. Navy SEALs. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back. Bobby and Steve Dooley with me here. Ms. Dooley was the chairman of Angels on Our Shoulders, which is still an active group supporting President Obama in his reelection efforts as you guys were active during 2008. You wanted to mention this Marine Corps story?
Yes. There is a Marine that has been discharged from the Marine Corps for criticizing President Obama on Facebook. I think that is very unusual. The first year anniversary of President Obama making the courageous call to go in and take out Osama bin Laden, and now a Marine is on Facebook criticizing the president. I really have to ask myself, who's putting him up to that? Because I don't think a soldier, especially in the Marines, is going to make comments about the commander-in-chief in that kind of context unless he's being paid or otherwise is being, lured into it. I just think it's the timing is really weird. And so it's just one more dirty trick, I think, on the part of the Republicans. That isn't going to win.
Now, what about the idea of politicizing this at all? When they said that President Obama used this in a campaign pitch, he was politicizing it, and now you're on and you're bashing the Republicans.
Well, they were bashing him. you know.
Yeah, but they were bashing him for using the event as a some kind of a political springboard. You know, what about that?
What's wrong with the president pointing out the very positive steps that he's taken? You know, this was a man, President Obama, that was criticized by people as being, he probably would be anti-military. I know that I was not, I wasn't really expecting him to be as, you know, pro-military as he is. So, and a lot of people said that, you know, his lack of experience there was going to be a disaster. And, you know, they said that he hadn't been on that that committee for Afghanistan. And there was a lot of things they said about him, and it all proved to be wrong. And meanwhile, the Republicans, you know, they didn't kill Osama bin Laden. Barack Obama did. So I just think that they've got to sit there and they have to accept it and not say anything. And I think they're coming out and saying the things they did say really, you know, was, I thought, just, I can't help but use the comparison. They reminded me of a baby rocking his, you know, his high chair back and forth.
Yeah, they're just all screaming.
They're just all screaming and stuff. And I thought it was, I just didn't think it was anything that made them look good. And I, you know, if I was a Republican, I wouldn't know what to say either.
Well, I can tell you a lot of Republicans will say the following. They'll say that,
Well, are you going to say that, you know, that this was part of...
Well, let me finish, okay? They're going to say that the Republican administration of Bush...
Yeah, you're going to say that they're going to take credit for it.
Well, a lot of what went into planning this...
a lot of what went there, that was way back in 2008, okay?
Well, I'm sorry, sir?
That was back in 2008. They got it in 2011. That's 3 years into Obama, so a lot of that didn't do it.
A lot of the surveillance work that they were doing was during the Obama administration. So you really can't even give President Bush that much credit. You can give him this much credit. You could say that he was the guy that said, "Oh, we got to go get it. You know, we got to go get Bin Laden."
Well, that really isn't, you know, the whole story, because the work that was done on beginning to track this guy commenced with the Bush administration. There was a mention today in an article I read that there were four pillars, so to speak, that they built their bin Laden hunt on. And one of them had to do, I think, with family. Another had to do with money. Another had to do with the courier. And I believe that that was itself that CIA analyst that came up with these four pillars, whose name is not being released by the CIA. I think that was during Bush's administration.
But you don't know for sure.
Yeah, you know that. You don't for sure whether or not that was a Bush or was Bin Laden.
I don't know for sure, but I mean, look, there was 4 years of this during the 7 years of this during the Bush administration, and 3 years of it during the Obama administration. Well, I just have to think that there'd be a higher percentage, but at least a significant contribution by the Bush era CIA. Not that there's any difference, you know.
What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that? I mean, it's essentially the same workforce of the CIA. Although we do have a different director.
Yeah, right there. The different, right
there. They had Leon, I forget his name, Panetta.
Leon Panetta. But that's a different director, and it may mean differences in terms of, you know, I don't know, emphasis on this over that, or perhaps they're going to, you know, hire more people or maybe fire some people. I don't know, but it's the same people that are working in those cubicles over there at the CIA looking at this data.
What about the people in the safe house? That's what we want to know about, the safe house. And I don't know if you're familiar with these terms or not.
Yeah, I know what a safe house is. Yes, I am.
Okay, you know what a safe house is? When they neutralize.
When they neutralize what?
The safe house.
What do you mean they neutralize the safe house? They neutralize a guy?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. From the safe house.
All right. Hold on for a minute, because we're getting into some strange, I don't know, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on who gets the credit for killing Osama bin Laden. Bobby and Steve Dooley are saying Republicans just shut up and suck on it, because this is Obama's party. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry. She'll be right back.
I like how you put that. It's Obama's party.
Phil Hendry.
Keep doing that. Some kind of a parade should be had for President. President Obama is at least honored in some kind of military parade as the man who, you know, really had the guts. I think more than anything else. Can you turn that down, please? Yeah, turn it down a little bit. I think it's President Obama that had the guts to say, you know what? All of you little old ladies in here, and I know he didn't say that, but.
Well, who's the little old lady that you're talking about?
Well, I think that Gates and Biden both said, oh, you know, we're worried, we're nervous. And I think that at some point, and you saw President Obama, they also said to him, you shouldn't do that dinner, that state dinner, the night before. And he basically said to them, you know, all of you little old women, you go and tend to your knitting.
Yeah, but they had to man up.
And I mean, he manned up. And next stop, there's a coffin being loaded onto an aircraft carrier. Thank you.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's get a call going here. We also have General Galen Shaw is going to be giving us a call momentarily. And we have Dave on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Dave. You're on with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
I can't believe this guest of yours, the way she's talking. It's as if that President Bush never looked for Osama. The military never looked for Osama, that the CIA never looked for him, but all of a sudden we have a president change, and President Obama's over there kicking up the sand and looking for him. No. Do you think that President Bush, if he had specific intel, wouldn't have gone on to get him? I know he would have. I flew missions over in Iraq during the first Gulf War. I worked in a command post, and I interfaced with people from Joint Chiefs of Staff. And that information is shared constantly, up and down, and we're always looking for high-value targets, and those targets were given out. If President Bush knew specifically where Osama was, I guarantee he would have gone after him. We didn't know specifically until President Obama was in office.
That's my point.
No, you're implying that President Bush never would have gone after him. He would have.
Well, what I'm saying is that Obama. Well, I think that President Obama is the one,
Let's get some boots on the ground. The military and the CIA did all the work for
boots
him.
Boots on the ground.
He's the one that said we're going to use the SEALs. And we're not going to.
Of course. Who else are you going to use?
We're not going to blow it up.
Who else are you going to use? And President Bush would have done the same thing had he known it.
He was being told by the others to use blow it up. And he said, "Let's use the snails." And that's what they did.
But we're not arguing, are we? You're giving President Obama all the credit for getting him. The only reason he got him is because the military and the CIA found him finally. Mm-hmm. But that process was going on for years before President Obama became president. You can't give him credit for finding him and killing him.
Don't you think it's possible, though? Do you have to give
the credit to the military and the CIA that finally found all the leads? Yes, President Obama gave the order to go, just like any president would have done. The method you're trying to elevate to some bigger
status. President Obama was. I think President Obama's the one. Now look at it this way, Dave. President Obama's the one that said, you got a safe house? Yes, sir. We'll use it. You know, I think he kicked some asses.
I guarantee you, President Bush would have done the exact same thing.
Well, I think that President Bush, even President Bush said, oh, who cares about him? We're going to get Al-Qaeda.
He never said who cares about him.
He said it doesn't matter, remember?
Well, he was being asked a question, Dave, if I could just jump in for a minute. The president was being asked a question about, what about Bin Laden? Yeah, he said, what about Bin Laden? And he said, we're going after Al-Qaeda.
Right.
Osama
had gone underground, and he was no longer a factor. But I guarantee, having been in a bunker working with military planners, that hunt was still going on, guaranteed. He wanted him so bad, no matter what he said. I know from the military bunkers what goes on. They were looking for him.
Well,
and all
I
that information
that,
gets passed on and built on stacks of information until they finally have enough information, and you said the four pillars, they get tracked down to one focus point, and they know where he's at, and they go and get him. And any sane president would have done that.
I have to say, as a former member of the military, I have great respect for you. I am not really big on war and all that, but...
Well, nobody's big on war.
No, of course not.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry. I'm just saying that I'm not really all, my father wasn't in the military, so I don't have a military family. But I'm just saying that for a military, they call it operation, for a military operation, it was pretty exciting to see President Obama go, pull the trigger on it.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's not a movie. It's not a Hollywood movie. And I think that that's what Bobby, Dave, I appreciate you. And I think you said it very, very well. And you're right. The CIA and defense intelligence, they never stop working. David, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil, I just want to say one thing. I'm not being Hollywood movie about that.
That's kind of insulting to say that.
I'm not trying to insult anybody, but I think you're being a little Hollywood-esque. You go, oh, he pulled the trigger.
Do you know that the neutralization, do you know that?
What is the word neutralization? What is that about?
When they neutraled him. Or not neutraled him, what's the word?
They neutralized him. Let's say they killed him.
Yes, but they don't say that. That was all done by President Obama when he knew that there was only one man in that room. How did you put it, Steve?
There's only one man in that room, and everybody else, it was like they weren't even there. And the lights went down, only one man on that room, and it was President Obama.
President Obama, not Obama, President Obama. And
you don't even know his name. Wow.
Yes, I do, Phil.
Wow. What?
Yes, I do, okay?
Well, Obama, oh, excuse me. Let's get a phone call in here from General Galen Shaw, who is joining us from Northern California tonight. He's up in the up there in the Mendocino area of Northern California. General Shaw, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Phil, I'm doing well, but I joined with the other gentleman who called, who was a former flyer, I believe he said he was, in expressing frustration. With the woman you've got on the line right now, to hear her say it, you'd think that President Obama, and I think you put it very well, Phil, is Captain America, Spider-Man, and all the nonsense that you've read of so very frequently in recent weeks.
I don't think he's Spider-Man.
I want to finish this point that I'm going to make, because I've been waiting on hold, and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And my wife just had a tooth extraction today. She's in pain, and I've been ministering to her. And
what are you doing?
What is that, sir?
What are you doing to your wife?
I said I'm ministering to my wife who had a tooth extraction today. If that's okay with you, sir.
Yeah, I'm doing.
You're going to be a minister?
Ma'am, let me finish if you wouldn't mind.
No, I just didn't understand.
Let me finish.
Okay, Bobby.
The young man who you spoke with here a moment ago was absolutely right. The intel is vetted and fed into what we call into the ops section of the Pentagon.
You're using a lot of those big words. That's what Republicans do. They use the big...
Sam, could I finish what I am saying? I'm not using big words. There's nothing big about the word ops. In fact, it is short for operations.
No, it's about psychological, isn't it?
Bobby, you know, you're talking to a retired general from the U.S. Army, you know...
I think I've got a little more information than the lady does. If you don't mind, I'd like to continue.
That's fine. Go ahead.
If you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all.
Well, we reserve the right to ask questions.
What did you say, sir?
We reserve the right to ask questions.
You reserve the right, and I would ask you to hold on to that right that you are reserving to ask the question until I am done with a series of comments that I'd like to make. Number one, the intel that comes in...
Steve, I'm sorry. I have to go to the bathroom. So I'm going to put my phone down, but I'm going to turn the radio on. And there's going to be a seven-second delay, if you're familiar with it, General.
Ma'am, if you want to be rude, and...
You have to go to the bathroom.
I've got to go.
My wife's got to go. He's trying to say she don't have the right.
If your wife needs to go to the bathroom, maybe it's something she should have thought about before she got on the phone and started talking all of this nonsense.
I have to go.
Well, what do you want me to do?
All right, well, go ahead, Ms. Dooley. I mean, we are coming up on a break.
I'm going to go up for the break, huh?
No, I got to go now.
Well, what do you propose I do, Mr. Henry?
Hold on for a minute. We'll take a break. Steve Dooley is also with us. Steve, did you want to weigh in?
No, I don't want to say anything, Bonnie. She wants to do the talking.
Oh, God, that's awful. Okay, I'm back.
That was rather disgusting and not needed.
I heard that as well, and I didn't like it either.
You heard what?
I heard your expression there.
What expression did they...
You went,
Oh, so I can't even express relief at finally getting rid of something I was holding all afternoon?
All right. You know, let's take a break.
Mr. Henry...
Let's just take a break, okay?
Well, what did I do wrong?
Hold on. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. General Galen Shaw will be back with Bobby Dooley. And Osama bin Laden, the death of Osama bin Laden, the one-year anniversary coming up May the 2nd. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley saying that this is President Obama's party. This is President Obama's doing. This is President Obama's victory. And we all hail our commander-in-chief. And the Republicans have to sit there and suck on it. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth. He's our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Soldiers are supposed to be dirty, and so...
All right, hold on, General. Back here with General Galen Shaw on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-7445. General Shaw is also with Bobby Dooley here. And so, General, go ahead with your thought.
Well, I was saying something, Phil.
Excuse me, ma'am, but you have not let me finish one thought.
I was saying something. And
what were you saying? In the depths of your ignorance, what were you saying?
How dare you?
You told my wife.
Well, the lady, sir, has been cutting me off ever since I tried to come on this program and express my opinion of the United States military's great job in neutralizing Osama bin Laden, as you like to say. They didn't neutral him. They neutralized him.
That was the word I was looking for.
All right. And soldiers do that all the time. Soldiers are dirty. Soldiers are hungry. Soldiers are tired, but they get the job done. And my guys, when I was in the Army, I used to say, my guys are hoo-ha guys. You know, they get after it. And
what do you mean by hoo-ha?
What is that?
What is what, ma'am?
All right, let's not get into that, okay? Let's just take a phone call here. Our number 877-876-PHIL. And this is Ken. Ken, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
I just want to stress that administrations overlap. And my biggest problem with Democrats currently is, you want to take credit for killing Obama or killing Bin Laden? Knock yourself off. But then take credit for unemployment. Take credit for bad economy. Take credit for the trillion-dollar deficit on a yearly basis that we have gained. Those are also all things that get to be hung on Mr. Obama's hat.
Well, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous to hang a trillion. That wasn't him. But we know.
And he doesn't get credit for killing Bin Laden.
Well, no, it doesn't work like that. Osama Bin Laden, the order came directly from the president. He said, we go at midnight.
That was the order.
So was the $1 trillion a year deficit. That was
order from Obama as well. No one said, okay, make it a trillion.
Well,
wanted to make it $2.5 trillion, and the Republicans wouldn't let him.
They did a whole thing too on it.
See, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. One is not the same as the other.
Part of what Bush did that allowed Bin Laden to be neutralized. There was
Bush let him go out of Tora Bora. Hooba Booba. What was the name of the place?
Tora Bora.
Yeah, Bush let him get away. So he did his part.
What is this let him get away stuff? First of all, President Bush was going on the advice of people on the ground not to piss off the Afghan tribal commanders who wanted a piece of this operation and had to get, they had to be political. They couldn't send more American troops into an area where they had Afghan commanders who were starting to get a little bit pissed off over the fact that they weren't being cut in.
What are you talking about?
Mr. Henry is absolutely correct. The Afghan tribal leaders and commanders were causing a problem which kept the U.S. from sending more troops into Tora Bora.
All right, listen, Ken, thank you for your call.
Ken, I just think it really doesn't work like that, you know. You got to have, you have to have the peas and the rice, isn't that it?
If you got to have peas and rice, you got to have the peas and the rice.
Exactly.
All right, 877, whatever that means.
You don't know what that means.
No, that's a bunch of homespun. That's a bunch of horse nuggets. I can tell you that. And you know what I mean by horse nugget, don't you? I mean horse manure.
Oh, well, I didn't get that. Wow.
Young lady, you can be...
But what's the point of being sarcastic?
Well, I have been attacked over and over since I've been on this program. And
we're getting asking questions. Let me go to a phone call here. I got Ruth hanging on the line here. Ruth, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I agree with the young lady. You're blaming Obama for this and that and the other. Mm-hmm. What about the war? Why were we there? I guess you're blaming him also for the war.
I am not blaming President Obama for the war.
Not you. I'm talking about this Phil and the people he have calling in. I thought this was the Fox show.
I mean, General Shaw.
People are calling in, talking about the president. They don't.
Let's get General Shaw in here. General Shaw, what did you say?
I'm a retired Army general, Bam, but I can tell you that I have nothing but respect for our commanders in chief. But I am telling you as well. The go order to send the steels or whatever they're called, because I've been retired for a long time. What are they called again?
Seals.
The seals, to send the seals in and to execute order AB, and that was to neutralize Geronimo, bring out what was left of him. That was indeed given by President Obama. There's no question at all. Now, when we look at the intel, as they say, DIA, CIA, or the State Department intel, this was collected certainly as well during the Bush years, and I dare say some of it collected in the Clinton years.
And what do you mean the Clinton years?
Well, that was before 2001, so you're right. But this guy Bin Laden, well, you know, I don't have all my facts. I've been retired for about 10 years now. I don't even know what the name of the lady that I'm talking to. What's your name, Miss Ruth?
Ruth.
Okay, Ruth. What was the name of the guys that killed him?
Seals.
Oh, all right. Now, am I a fan of President Bush? Yes, I am. Do I think President Obama sort of stumbles his way through life? Yes, I do.
No.
Does that mean I don't respect him? What do you mean, no?
You don't think President Bush stumbled through life? They stole the election?
I think President Bush very smartly...
Brother and all of them stole the election.
I think President Bush very smartly strode into each day. I think President Obama...
He admitted himself that he was a C student. Anybody can be president because he was a C student. To me, that is a terrible message to send out to the young people.
He was a C student. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, well, he's the one who told it.
That's the first time hearing of that.
Yeah, well,
The president said he was a C student. You didn't hear that?
No, I never. Had I known that.
President Bush said he was a C student.
What about Clinton? He was
a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford.
We're not talking what?
Phil Hendry.
Where's the lady?
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what we're talking about. And truth is our bitch on this show. So we're going places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot, because they don't believe in truth, because they don't believe in the fair and the just and the honest and the equal and the weird. But we do. Let me ask you a question. Are the goods that we're sending our troops in care packages good enough? Are the things that we send to our young men and women in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere in the world, are we sending these great young men and women the kinds of things that give them comfort and the kinds of things that remind them of home, a cool drink, some snacks, foods, other things that they may need, batteries for some sort of an audiovisual device they're using for their music or their movies? Are we sending them what they need? We're going to be talking with a young man, R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, a young man who is hoping to advance and have a career in the U.S. Army. We're going to talk to him about those things from home and those things that we do send to our kids. Charlie LaFountain, who is a writer and a father, is going to join us in our second hour to be talking about how to dissuade child predators and what is your child's responsibility, believe it or not. We're going to talk with Charlie LaFountain about that. One of the things that he's writing about, which is controversial, is the need against all of the conversation we've heard, is the need for the kids to keep on the weight, to have extra weight. So Charlie LaFountain joining us next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445 is our number, 877-876-PHIL. And our affiliate spotlight this evening, a WTAR Norfolk, Virginia, and KERN in Bakersfield, California, right up the road from us. We're going to get on the line here with R.C. Collins at Bradley Military Academy. This is in Altadena, California, as we kick off tonight. But one thing, put it on hold, will you? Put it on hold. Bud, put it on hold.
What?
The phone. Put it on hold. I can hear the... I wanted to mention our website, philhenryshow.com. If you head over there, be sure to get a backstage pass, which gives you access to literally years and years and years and years, 15 years worth of archive material, as well as our daily podcast, as well as our classic Phil podcasts, our video on demand, our daily video cast, which is up and running right now here from the El Pacifico. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. R.C., how are you, sir?
Yes, Mr. Hendry.
How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. Thank you for letting us talk about this.
What grade are you in? What level of cadet are you?
I'm a junior cadet.
You're a junior at Bradley Military Academy?
Yes, sir.
And R.C., you wrote a blog for your cadet class. I guess there are a number of I know you have an academy newspaper there. And you also have blogs for your senior level and junior level, and you wrote one having to do with supplies from home, correct?
and the blog was called Message from Home, and it was about the kinds of things that troops get sent.
Yeah, maybe if you tell those guys to turn the TV down.
The article was about the kinds of things that are, or the blog was about the kinds of things that get sent to the troops in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and other places where they're deployed around, you know, the world. And the substance of the blog had to do with the fact that a lot of it is pretty substandard. It's not because the people at home don't care. I think that there needs to be more thought put into what we're sending our troops. These are people that are defending this country, and you know, I for one am very, very devoted and committed to my career here at the academy, and then eventually I want to go on to West Point. And
you want to become an officer?
Yes, sir, very much so. And then I hope to defend my country. You know, I hope to be deployed to a theater where there is active engagement of an enemy, and I can tell you that I'm willing to go to the limits. I mean, I'm like everybody here at Bradley. We're ready to go to the limits for the country that we live in. And you know, I mean, I'm pretty psycho about how I view defending my country.
And all right, so you guys are very, very committed, and you and we would expect nothing less. Although we are very appreciative of that. And so I take it that means that whatever you are supplied from home, and we're not talking about now standard Army issue stuff, right?
Well, I mean, the standard issue that you get in the services, whether it's the Army or the Marine Corps or the Air or what have you, is not going to be the same as what you can get from home. It's pretty, I mean, you know, regular MRI is pretty, like there's pudding and there's some meat, but it's a lot of it's dehydrated. It's not the highest quality kind of food, but you don't expect it to be high quality. It's coming from the Army. It's intended to make sure that you have enough fuel, but it's not supposed to be something that, you know, is comfort food. What we want from back home has more to do with, you know, rounding out the experience of being deployed overseas and having stuff from back home that is, you know, making it worth putting your life on the line.
Talking to R.C. Collins, who is not yet in the Army. He is a junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy. And we're discussing, I guess, the quality of the home front support. Now, we're not talking about anything here, R.C., having to do with... you are, as a young man, you're not yet in the military, but you see the way the average soldier is being supplied by the military itself as adequate, correct?
Yeah, and the one thing I want to correct, I'm not in the military in a technical way that you said. You're right about that, Mr. Henry, but it's not the best thing for our morale, I guess, to say, well, you're not in the military, you're not in the military. I mean, I am in the military in the sense that the minute I came to Bradley Military Academy, the minute I put on the cadet cap, the minute that we were on the parade grounds for the Commandant Parade, and then the different you know, things that we did, I mean, you know, and learning and training and everything that goes into being a military academy, I am in the military, because otherwise, and I'm ready, you know, I'm pretty psycho, and so are a lot of my friends that are here in the class. So to say that we're not in the military is kind of bad. It's kind of bad for the morale a little bit.
All right, well, I mean, what I'm saying is you're not an official member of the United States Army.
No, sir, not yet, no. But I know that, you know that. I mean, we don't have to keep, I guess, beating it into the ground, you know.
All right, well, I'm not going to beat it into the ground. I wanted to make that distinction. What are the things that the soldiers, that the sailors, that the airmen, that the Marines, what are the things that our fighting men and women around the world, what do you feel they are not getting?
Well, I think personally, and I've talked to a lot of the cadets here, I mean, there's a lot that they're not getting that they need to have that they are not getting. For instance, if you some of the stuff that they get borders a little bit on as if they're little kids, and I don't mean to say that I don't want to insult anybody at home, because I know the parents really try to do their best, but it's a little bit of an insult to send like Pop-Tarts and stuff like that, you know. And
why is that an insult? Isn't that kind of a nice treat to have?
Well, I mean, we're fighting men, and you know, we want to kill, you know, for the country and kill the enemy, and go, and you go, oh yeah, here's a treat. It sort of minimizes.
So you feel that kind of diminishes the mission?
Yeah, a little bit. I think it diminishes the mission. It makes it seem so, you know, like, here's your Pop-Tart, go out and kill the enemy. I mean, that's really that very respectful. The other thing, and I think you saw this in the movie Hurt Locker, which was a very good movie, but I don't think it did a lot for the morale to show that sometimes you're going out, you know, on a mission, or you're going out on patrol, and you've got a juice box in a cooler, which is totally something that just maybe a school kid would have, you know?
And, well, are they drinking out of juice boxes over there or not?
Well, yeah, they are, but I mean, I didn't think it was good for the director of the movie to show it, and I think that's something that needs to be addressed. I don't think we want to have a juice box, you know, like that. It would be great if we had root beer or we had Coca-Cola. There's nothing wrong with that. But we would prefer to be in a container that, I guess, sort of you can look at and go, well, I got a bottle in my hand, I got a can in my hand, and I'm sitting here with a juice box like I'm a little kid, you know, that I'm not allowed to be able, I can't do my job. You know?
Well, you're taking personally the idea that there's juice boxes and Pop-Tarts being sent to the troops, right? And
well, yeah, I think a lot of soldiers take it personally. I mean, we
have, well, who have you talked to? Have you talked to soldiers that are upset that they're getting juice boxes and Pop-Tarts instead of what? And you say a bottle or a can?
Well, yeah, a bottle or a can or instead of a Pop-Tart, it would be better if you just, it doesn't have to be anything very elaborate. They have the sausages that you can get in the like in the freezer section of a market, if you get the frozen sausage sandwiches that they have, those are very good. They have the sausage patties that are very good. I would much rather have the sausage patties or the frozen sausage sandwich than a Pop-Tart, which I think is just, like I said, kind of little kid-like.
All right.
Like the Jimmy Dean, they have those. And donating juice boxes is sort of cheap, too. That's the other thing I was going to say, and Pop-Tarts, too. We want to feel as if people are spending money on us because we could die. And if you're giving your life for your country and people are, like, being cheap too. Yeah, I was just talking to Cadet McMillan said that if you're being cheap, then it means you hold our lives cheap, too.
If you're being cheap, who are you talking to specifically now, RC? Are you talking?
Well, I mean, I'm talking to the parents. I'm talking to just everybody that gives stuff to the troops. Please don't hold our lives so cheaply in your hands that the only thing we rate are juice boxes and Pop-Tarts.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy talking about these snacks and supplies and things that are sent to the troops by civilians. I wanted to ask you, R.C., and I don't think that it's, I don't think I'm talking out of school now. When you say that you don't want people to be cheap, when you say you don't want the people out there to be cheap, the mothers and fathers, aren't you being a little demanding, you know?
Well, I don't think so, sir. I mean, we're talking about giving our lives for the country. I'm going to die someday killing Al-Qaeda, and if there's a God in heaven, I'll die killing Al-Qaeda. That's how I want to go. And all I'm asking for is that instead of sending me treats, that I get a sausage sandwich or sausages. And you know, I mean, I'm too young now. If I go to Iraq or Afghanistan, I'll probably want to have a cigarette. And they don't even want to send cigarettes because the brass, the army, you know, the top of the army don't want us to have them.
You guys don't get cigarettes?
No, we don't. And
well, you guys in the military academy are too young, but you're talking about the soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Well, I don't imagine they get cigarettes either, the way that they're treated by the Army brass and by civilians, too.
Well, there's a big thing about smoking. I mean, we could get into that, but I right now what we're talking about is what you consider to be the substandard stuff being sent by civilians. It's cheap. And R.C. Collins joining us from Bradley Military Academy, basically saying, spend some money on us. We're going to sacrifice our lives for the country. We're getting Pop-Tarts and juice boxes, and we would appreciate, instead, cans and bottles of root beer and sausage McMuffins and these kinds of things. Is there a disconnect here between us at home, on the home front, and what our young people, our young fighting men and women need? Because God knows, whatever it is they need, we're ready to give it to them. Whatever it is they want, we stand here ready to give it to them. R.C. is talking about, quote, spending some money. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show back in just a moment here with R.C. Collins. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
As is TV Art. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And again, 877-876-PHIL as we talk here with R.C. Collins. Again, you guys need to have that TV turned down there. And we're talking with Mr. Collins and other members of Bradley Military Academy about the, I guess you could say, the care packages and the supplies and things that we send to our fighting men and women from home. And a lot of it, yeah, is comfort food, the Pop-Tarts and the juice boxes and the Starbursts, you know, and things like that. RC is claiming that this is rather inexpensive stuff and bruises morale when the soldiers get this stuff because they look at it and they think, how much are they spending on this back home when I'm here fighting for my country? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're going to take some of your phone calls as well. I wanted to ask you, R.C., examples of other things that you consider to be substandard or cheap that come from the States.
Well, a lot of the guys I know that is coming back, and I tell you, a lot of them say they'll get things like Skittles, or they get like what you just mentioned, Mr. Henry, which is the Starbursts, or they get peanuts. It when you're expecting to get sausages or to be able to get a big keg of root beer or something. I mean, I we're just asking, you know. If Charles Dickens wrote Oliver Twist, which was a book about a little boy that was starving and living in London, and even he got, you know, you figure Twist got sausages and from the protagonist in the book. We just read it in our English lit class. So Twist, I think, is an example of how tough you can be, and that's what I was grateful for when I read about Twist.
And what did we say, Twist?
Oliver Twist.
Oh, I'm sorry, Oliver Twist, yeah. But that was a young man who was starving to death.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, he didn't have anything, and yet, when he did find people that would take care of him, he got sausages and things like that. But what we get are Skittles, and you just, I don't want to go and come out of a cave with an insurgent's head on a stick for a bag of Skittles, you know.
All right. 877-876-7445. I hear what you're saying. I'm also mindful of the fact that you're not yet in the military. Here is Jim. Hi, Jim. You're on the Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins.
Yeah, I just want to know how this guy feels like he can answer for men and women who've seen combat, himself not seeing combat. I know several people that have been over in the war,
uh-huh.
And are grateful to get anything and look forward to getting their mail and stuff from home.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're right, but I know guys over there, too. See, I'm not talking about necessarily combat. I'm talking now about just what you get from the States, and you're over there, and any day you could take incoming, you know, like an incoming mortar, and guess what you got that day in the mail? You got, like, macadamia nuts or some, or, you know, Starburst, and you're going to die for that?
No, you're dying for your country because that's what they signed up to do.
Well,
They're also getting paid. It's not like we're paying them Starburst to go put their lives on the line. You know, that's added extras from home.
It doesn't seem like it's enough that they could send, you know, good Cadbury chocolates and stuff like that, you know, spend a little bit of money instead of going down to a liquor store and getting a big hunk.
I know plenty of people who are in the armed services and would be happy to get nothing from home. They're happy just to serve their country and don't feel like they have to have extra sent from home.
What about that, RC? Do you talk to guys that are don't care?
I've never talked to anybody that doesn't care. Guys are always looking for an extra deal and everything. They're finding stereo equipment from Italy and, you know, or they're finding stuff from Egypt. I mean, they're always shipping stuff back here. I mean, if you think about the guys, they ship stuff stateside that's pretty good. Like the older brother of a friend of mine, he shipped back a whole bunch of iPods and stuff that he got. Well, I mean, it was black market, but...
All right, I mean, that's fine, but I mean, what do you hear guys complaining that they're not getting anything from the States?
Yeah, you hear a lot of people go, you know, mushroom stew that they got one time, and they got some Progresso soup, and they hated it.
Progresso soup. All right, Jim, thank you. Our number, 877-876-7445, are the things that we send our men and women overseas, is it quality stuff, or are we shortchanging them? RC says, he's a cadet, though. He says we ought to spend more money. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking with R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, and he's basically talking with us about the food and the treats and the snacks and the things like that that are sent to our troops overseas. Whether they be Skittles or whether they be Starbursts or whether they be juice boxes or these kinds of things, socks, shirts, board games. RC, your basic point is they're not good enough. The stuff is cheap, and they want stuff that's better.
That's essentially it, sir. And
all right, now what about the fact that you haven't been over there? That was the comment that was made to you. By the first caller. You haven't been there. You don't know.
Well, Mr. Henry, I've talked to soldiers that have been there. I've talked to guys that have gone over there, and they've all said to a man the same thing, that, you know, we don't want to tell civilians, because there's an attitude in the military, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's hard for us to be honest with civilians, because we don't know whether they're going to be able to take it or not, and there's a lot of ugly stuff that we've seen. But when we go to Iraq or Afghanistan, and they're going to send me a Slim Jim and a hand sanitizer, and I want to go and I'm going to kill, well, not Bin Laden anymore, but you know, Al-Qaeda, and they're sending hand sanitizers and gum, you know.
Well, yeah, but the guy we just talked to said you're doing it for the pay, and you're doing it for the patriotism.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Henry, that sounds good in a movie, you know. That sounds real good in the movie, and it sounds real good on Fox and Friends. But I'm psycho. I'm ready to eat my own guts for my country, and I do want to eat my own guts for my country. But not to come back to base camp and see that somebody sent me a board game or mouthwash.
Well, what do you guys want? You want more porn?
I didn't say that, sir.
Well, I mean, to me, that's what it sounds like.
Well, I didn't say that, but
Are you asking for adult things like that, porn, or are you asking for...
We're asking for to be treated like men, yeah. And the fact is we don't really have that much to relax to. If you're seeing adult films, I mean, I would appreciate that, yeah. And I would appreciate a beer instead of somebody sending me a, you know, baby wipes or something.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. R.C. Collins here. Here is Shane. Go ahead, Shane. You're on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk about the stateside stuff. Go ahead.
Hey,
Shane.
Hey, this is Shane from Connecticut.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's just funny to me that you have someone on the line here, R.C. Collins, that's a cadet who's never experienced anything, never been deployed. I'm a 10-year Navy veteran, honorable discharge. I was on submarines, and I've been deployed many, many months overseas. And the creature comforts of home are what matter. And I never at
exactly.
any point in my military.
Can exactly. I well, yeah, but I mean, you guys, are you telling me you're happy with a baby wipe?
Let the guy finish.
Yeah, I mean, it's not about being happy or not being happy. You just appreciate the fact that your relatives, your friends, your family members are thinking of you, and you have that little taste of back home to remember what you're fighting for. It's not the dollar amount or the physical gift itself. It's the fact that I'm fighting over here defending my country for my family members and my friends to live in a free country back home, and they're thinking about me while I'm out here. That's what you care about. At no point in my 10 years of service did I think, when I was deployed overseas, man, I wish someone would send me, a pornographic magazine, or I wish
someone
would send me...
Well, yeah, but you're in the submarine service. You guys had it pretty good. I mean, you get to eat steak and eggs and everything.
Oh, you think? Hey, how many submarines have you served aboard?
Well, Mr. Henry, didn't you say your brother was on a sub?
My brother was on a sub a long time ago, but still in all, your comment, RC, is you guys have got it easy. Submarine life is, you guys are working 24 hours a day, right, Shane? I mean, you guys don't stop moving on a sub.
Absolutely, Mr. Henry. It's 18-hour days, 6 hours on watch. It's daunting.
Right. And you're underwater a lot too, right? Are you not above
absolutely.
The surface for long stretches?
No.
Yeah,
are you
kidding me?
Do anything.
That's not all that hard if you think about what other guys is doing in Afghanistan.
RC Collins, I'm not going to compare apples and oranges. Every service, every branch has its difficulties. My service was no easier than a Marine's and vice versa. I've done missions with Army Rangers. I've done missions with Marine Recons that have ridden aboard my boat to do spec ops. And they've said to me, I don't know how you can do this. And the reason I was able to do it is because when I pulled into Liberty Ports or I pulled into a port, getting the letters from back home, the cards,
mm-hmm.
the pictures,
yeah.
the thank you, we appreciate what you're doing. And for me, the biggest thing for me, I didn't care what anyone sent me. It's when you came home on leave and I got to see my parents and I'd see other veterans and they shake my hand.
You're on a submarine, though. You get a granola bar. Right, but if you get a granola bar on a submarine, that's probably like, well, whatever, because we already get granola bars and everything like that. But in Afghanistan, if you get a granola bar, it's an insult. Because you're thinking, yeah, sure, thanks.
I don't see it as
what?
I'm just glad that someone's thinking about me. And the food on the submarine, take it from my experience, it's not steak and eggs every day. It's dehydrated milk. It's dehydrated eggs. No produce. Everything's frozen. So it's not that great.
Don't you get offended when you get popcorn and stuff like that? I would be.
Offended? Why would you be offended?
Why would I be
thinking about cheap
popcorn? I don't get you.
Civilians are cheap.
Your problem is you're fixating on the physical gift
stuff.
Itself, what it is,
right.
and not the thought behind it, and not that you have relatives and family members that appreciate what you're doing for your country. You want another?
I know.
You want that attaboy pat on the back, but.
I want to get stuff in the mail.
Prefer...
If I just got out of a cave with an insurgent's head on a stick, I want to have something like better than a board game and shampoo. God.
Oh, you're, you know, like you said, like the man said,
what?
That's what you need. That's what you need to feel satisfaction for your job. For you're kind of like a ball of contradictions, because on one token you say, I eat my guts for my country. I do this. I do that. And then
I'm psycho.
A minute later you say, but I want something from home that's worth it. I want something that's I'm not happy.
Right.
With.
Yeah, you don't want a hand sanitizers. You don't want all these things that are going to be sent by people, hand sanitizers and baby wipes. I mean, who knows, man? Maybe the Army or whatever says that the guys need that stuff. Shane, thanks so much for your call, and good talking to a guy on the submarine. What was the name of your boat? What
was the name of your boat? I was on the USS Helena stationed out of San Diego, California. Hoorah, say hoorah, Helena.
My brother was on the Barb. Is the Barb still in service? Probably not, huh?
No, that's not. It's been decommissioned. That is a decommissioned submarine. But I appreciate your to have a have a connection to a fellow submariner. That's good to know.
Oh yeah, he went to New London, Connecticut, and then Pascagoula, which is where their boat was when he got out of the sub school. Was New London where you went?
That's where I live. I live in New London, Connecticut. I'm a Navy brat. My father was 20 years retired Navy. I was an instructor at the submarine school for my last 4 years in the service. So I've got
out of sight, man.
And I've been deployed, and I know what it's like. I'm speaking from experience, not from a cadet's point of view who has
all right.
experience.
I appreciate
it. Henry.
Thanks very much, sir. All right, there's Shane. RC, you know.
Well, I mean, you basically let him just, have his way with me. And
what do you mean? He was talking about a guy who's out there getting stuff from home, stuff that they want, stuff that they need. And you're talking about what? You're talking about being in the academy.
Well, yeah, but I was given my point of view, and that guy's having his way with me, talking about how, this, and that. And I'm standing there just going, well, I mean, I don't know anything about no submarine, and nobody else knows anything about submarines. It's a pretty secret thing. Those guys probably think that, I don't know, they probably get bitching stuff in the mail, and they don't care.
Yeah, that's right. If you're on a sub, you get all the really cool stuff that you're talking about, like sausage McMuffins. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Anybody else in the service want to set this guy straight? You're more than welcome. R.C. Collins with us here from Bradley Military Academy as we talk about the stuff that's sent from home. The little things like the handy wipes and the baby wipes and the mouthwash and the socks that go to the soldiers and go to the sailors and everybody else. And as R.C. has been talking, as far as he knows and the people that he talks to, all that stuff is cheap. And they want you to start spending a little bit of money on them. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Phil Henry here with R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. You know, R.C., you're talking very honestly and very earnestly here about wanting really good stuff from home. If you go to Afghanistan, if you go to Iraq, you want to make sure that you have really cool stuff. Meanwhile, you're being very childish.
Well, in what way, sir?
Well, when I said, would you hold on, which is a typical term, yeah, you're going, hold on to what? And we're on the air. You want to be treated like a man, why don't you act like a man?
Sir, I, with all due respect, Mr. Henry, I've acted like a man. I'm on a radio station. The way that I act like a man and the other people that I'm with is we're going to go to Afghanistan and Iraq, and we're going to kill the enemies of America. And then we go back to base camp, and you get back to base camp after you've been out on a mission, let me tell you what. And you come back to hot chocolate packets and gum? You know, you come back from a strike vehicle. You ever been on a strike vehicle, Mr. Henry?
No, have you?
Well, that's not the point. Yes, I have, because I'm going to be. I mean, I'm in the military academy.
No, you've never been on a strike vehicle, and you've never been to Afghanistan. So, no, you don't know what it's like.
Well, I've got a way better idea, sir, than you do. And I'm just telling you, you come back from a mission back to base camp, and there's sunflower seeds and Slim Jims, and you feel cheated, and you feel that nobody at home cares whether you live or die.
Oh, come on. And you're not even talking for a soldier. You come back from a mission, and you come back to base camp, you know.
Well, yeah, that's what it's called. You don't know what it's called. I do. And I come back from mission base camp, and all I see, and there's no sausage or sausage McMuffins or anything.
No, you know what? I've just heard from a number of people. We just heard from that young man, and I know you don't think it counts because he was on a submarine and they got all the really good stuff, saying that they appreciate the thought behind these things. Let's go to Tom. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins. Go ahead, please.
Hey, young man, I'm telling you, I'm a Vietnam vet. I'm 65
uh-huh.
years old. And
yes, sir.
When we got packages from home, we wanted foot powder. We wanted handy wipes. We wanted those things to keep our... We use handy wipes to keep our weapons clean half the time. We use foot powder to keep our foot clean so we can go out in the field. And by the way, young man, you do not go into combat with the idea you're going to give your life. The object of going into combat is to go in, complete your mission, and come back out alive with all
oh, yeah.
your men.
Of course, that's
sergeant.
What I want to...
You'll never be a second lieutenant, young man, because you're just not that squared away. Thank you.
Well, sir, I want to go and kill the enemy and come back to something more than a handy wipe, wouldn't you?
Until you have fired a shot in anger, don't tell me about killing an enemy. The first time you kill someone, young man, you're going to throw up all over yourself because it is not a pretty sight.
Are you kidding me? That would be the bitchiest thing ever.
He's talking real life here, Arsene.
I have lived.
Well, I've done that movie Platoon.
That's a movie, RC. Listen to this, gentleman.
I have lived combat. 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines, 5th Marine Brigade. You tell me what I did wrong. I came home. I took 39 troops over there in a platoon as a platoon sergeant. We came home, 39 men. We took them over. We brought them back. I'm proud of that. We didn't die.
That's very good. That's very good. Outstanding.
Yeah, but were you guys like, you know, in a heavy firefight and stuff like that?
Are you listening to what the man's saying?
I was in the Battle of Khe Sanh. Look it up. Son of a gun.
What's that?
I'm telling you, it's
that was
not pretty.
Khe Sanh, that was after the Tet Offensive. That was during the Tet Offensive. It's a very big battle. It's on Wikipedia. It's in all the encyclopedias. It's a part of history. It's a part of world history, the Battle for Khe Sanh. The Marines were there, and they won back that city during the Tet Offensive. And, R.C., you're being very disrespectful asking this man, taking a platoon over there and coming back with all of his soldiers, did you get into any fights?
Well, no, I didn't mean to be disrespectful. I just wondered if you can go over there with 39 guys and come back with all 39. Maybe they were just, you know, sitting around or something. I don't know.
Sitting around? It was
the
Vietnam War.
Firefight?
You're crazy, boy.
Well, I mean, I thought
you'll
maybe...
You will never be a second lieutenant because you're just not smart enough to be an officer.
Well, I'm not trying to be in the Marines. I'm trying to be Army.
What's that supposed to mean?
Maybe you don't have to be as smart.
I know a lot of people in the Army. They wouldn't tolerate you. The only thing you'll ever be in your career, if you go into service, will be mess officer somewhere.
I don't think so, sir.
You don't have
the respect. With all due respect, I'm going to go in and I'm going to get an insurgent on the end of my bayonet. You'll see.
Oh, you're going to wind up getting killed probably, R.C., with an attitude like that. You know, going in with a... You know, you've been watching way too many movies.
Speaking of movies, I want to ask this man...
If he's sick, he won't know what to do.
Well, what is going to make me sick about that? I just killed me what do you call the guys over there?
You have never heard any Marine, any soldier, ever tell you about killing the enemy. If they brag about killing the enemy, they didn't do it, young man.
What? Are you kidding
me? We did our job.
I seen a guy on TV the other day talking about it in Okinawa. And all the guys that they killed.
That was the World War II documentary. They asked them about it. Of course they're going to talk about it. Did you know, what happened on Okinawa that they're going to talk about it?
No, it wasn't Okinawa. It was Iwo Jima.
Whatever, man. Same difference. They asked those Marines, well, what did you do? Where did you go? How did...
Yeah?
My father was killed on Corregidor in World War II.
Where's that?
The Philippines, the beginning of World War II.
If you're in a military academy, you should know the military history.
Corregidor's where?
The Philippines, you idiot! That was the beginning of the war. That was right after Pearl Harbor was bombed.
Well,
you've never heard of the Bataan
about...
Death March?
The Bataan Death March.
You've never heard the term Bushido?
Is that food?
Bushido? Is that food?
Yeah,
sure, it's food. Bushido is sure death.
I thought it was
Bushido
a dish.
Where if you fall behind, the Japanese soldiers had no respect for anyone who was a prisoner.
What you got to do, RC, is spend less time calling up talk shows and more time getting into your books and your history and other things and quit talking about stuff you don't know anything about and just shut up. That's what you need to do.
Well, if I don't say it, who's going to?
Nobody, and that's a really good thing. No one will talk about the dumbass stuff you're talking about, like getting Slim Jims and sunflower seeds and how you're not happy with that. Tom, outstanding to talk to you, sir. Thank you very much, Tom, and thanks for your service.
Many a time I would have given up. I'd have given everything I had for a Slim Jim and a handful of sunflower seeds.
Are you kidding? That's
somebody
cheap.
Cared.
You could have gotten macadamia nuts.
You want to take a
in
beer
any event,
in combat? You're crazy.
A what? No, you want to take a juice box? If you take a juice box in there, the Viet Cong will laugh themselves sick.
You know why I'll take a juice box? Because it's got
why?
Vitamins. Because it's got the essential minerals in it that you need to keep going. It's got electrolytes.
Yeah,
in it.
But if the VC see you with it, they'll laugh themselves sick.
Take your water, boy.
Exactly. All right, Tom, thanks very much for your call. I appreciate it, and thanks for... very interesting caller, and if you would have kept your mouth shut, you might have learned something from that man. He's been around.
He goes into combat with a juice box. The Viet Cong would have gone, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, and while they're laughing, guess what?
They get dead?
Yeah, that's it.
Didn't think about that one.
There's a lot of crap you haven't thought about on this show tonight. You call up with all kinds of silly-ass notions about things.
What are you getting all mad about? You're all like, ah, crap you didn't think about tonight. God, just take it easy, Mr. Henry.
Well, waste my time, man. My producer says, oh, we got this kid from the military academy. He's going to talk to us about, you know, packages from home. The next thing I know, you're yakking about Slim Jims coming out of a cave with an insurgent on your bayonet and the Viet Cong laughing themselves sick when they see a Marine with a juice box.
Well, that guy said I was going to throw up when I killed me, my first insurgent. I don't think so. They just roll off my knife.
What'd you throw up?
I got a fever booster.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And we go beyond the looking glass to places other talk shows wish they could go, but they can't, and they don't, so they wouldn't, and they shouldn't, and that's where that am at. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com, the strong-eyed arm of the Phil Hendry Show. Go over to our website. Get a backstage pass
Watch the screen and watch the video.
Oh yeah, watch our live streaming video, listen to our archives, listen to our daily podcasts, and become a member of the only real radio station that you should the radio show you should subscribe to, the Phil Hendry Show. I mean, all of the other ones. I got an email from a, you know, former friend of mine that decided he was going to go into talk radio, you know.
Yeah.
And he went into talk radio. He got himself a show, and he was a conservative. And I went on his website last night. I think he's no longer going to have the show. He's going to go back to doing what he does, which is basically produce movies, which he does a really good job doing that. But this talk show he had, anyway, went on the, and it's just Obama bash, Obama bash, Obama bash. And of course, there was a time when you thought, well, there must be a never-ending, unending, you know, need for that kind of thing, because every jackass with a show does that. Well, apparently there isn't, because this cat, you know, he's done for. Well, we don't do that here. On our show, we try to bring to you different points of view. Last hour, a good example there. Gary Parton, a longtime respected reporter. And here's this guy saying that Rick Perry now objectively has ceased being human. He's more vegetable matter. Now, where are you going to hear that?
Yeah, maybe they go into a nut asylum or something, and they hear...
Shut up. So anyway, join our website, philhenryshow.com, and get a backstage pass. And the BSP that called me during the break, I heard what you said, sir. I'd like to do that, but not tonight. All right. We did have lined up General Galen Shaw on Japanese whaling, but Robert Green has, my understanding is, Bob suggests a little bit of airtime. Robert Green is a sponsor of ours. At Fraser Foods has been sponsoring this radio broadcast since 1999, and we're very happy to have Bob Green on the line with us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park on the subject of the recession, on the subject of the people who are out of work. We don't hear about homeless people. It's funny, Bob, I was watching a movie today, My Man Godfrey from the 30s. You know it?
Oh, yeah, I know that film very well, Phil, with William Powell. It's a commentary on the... it's a wonderful commentary, I think, Phil, on the depression of the 30s.
It was a very interesting movie, and I know that as a grocery CEO, as a man who has been doing business directly with the public for a great many years, you see how people suffer
Every day. And every day we attempt to be as good a neighbor as we can to our customers and to the people that have supported us all these years, Phil. And I know their names, I know their faces. I know the names of their families. I know the names of their kids. And whatever we can do as an organization, as a member of this neighborhood, as a national organization, as a national grocery chain, we do what we can. And that's why our operation, Kid Stop, went into effect last week. And I'm doing it for my son because I felt bad for what happened, Phil, and I told you and I told a few people. I felt very bad for what happened. And so we're doing this, and we're going to try and make it up to all the families and all the kids out there.
Well, Bob, look, people get angry, and what Robert Green's talking about here, folks, and Bob, I'll let you go into more detail, is you struck your son in anger after he made a comment about poor people, right?
Well, what happened was, Phil, and I guess we're getting the cart ahead of the horse a little bit.
Go ahead and tell it, then we'll fill in the blanks.
I was home. The kids are with me. Their mother has been very, very sick. And I was cooking dinner that night. I had come back from the office. I was literally standing there in my dress shirt and my tie with my sleeves rolled up, trying to get some dinner together for the kids. I was cooking some soup, or I was going to cook some soup, and got the pot out. I said to the kids, I was going through the store today and I saw the amounts of dog food that we sell. I said we had an enormous amount of dog food and cat food. I said that takes up space in our store at a time when we ought to be doing what we can to feed people. And my son said, why don't you feed the poor people dog food? And that's when instinctively I had this soup pot. And I just, I hit him across the face with it.
That's anger.
It's a lot of anger. And I told him I was sorry, and we shook hands, and it had been a big misunderstanding. But I felt bad about it, and since that time, I...
You hit him with the soup pot. Was he hurt?
Well, you know, he's okay. He's fine. I think sometimes we make a bigger deal out of these things than we should. I said I was sorry, and I am sorry. He's a big boy. It was the wrong way to discipline my son. But understand, I was angry because he'd made a comment about poor people eating dog food, and I thought that was an insult. I will tell you one other thing that we've done. And I told my son, I said, his name is Richard. I said, Richard, I have taken your advice. We're going to get rid of all of the pet food and dog food. The other thing that, even more to the point, Phil, that we're getting rid of are a lot of these pet toys and other accessories for pets. We are right now in the middle of a terribly desperate economic situation in this country. There are families that are not eating. There are people without work. Americans have lost their hope in many ways. And I'll be a son of a gun, Phil, if I'm going to have those people come into my store, people that are hungry and people that are cold, and see me selling cat sweaters or these dog chew toys or dog food or these cat condos, these ridiculous things that you've seen. And
now, these cat condos, just so people know, it's a little multi-level thing that cats climb up and...
Well, no, you shouldn't minimize it. I think it's a very sophisticated and, I will say, luxurious way for a cat to live. And the other things we have, these dog sweaters, and I think it's an insult to human beings at a time like this to carry things like that. I had a couple of my guys bring two or three of the dumpsters around the front of the store, and I dumped all of this into the dumpster and left it there. Because I knew there'd be a lot of people coming into the store the next day and would see exactly what we had thrown into that dumpster.
Now, you threw all of this stuff into the dumpster to make a statement, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
What was that?
Well, the statement was to say to the...
Because you have a lot of people that come into your store that are animal owners. Do you have pets?
No, we don't have pets. We don't... I wouldn't waste my... I think that pets are a wonderful, wonderful addition to a home if you've reached a point in your life where you just don't, I guess you don't want to deal with human beings, but I've got children and I have friends and we are in the world and I'm not going to, I don't have the time for a dog, if that's what you mean. But I'll tell you this, we had people come into the store, they're big pet lovers. They're always asking about, do you have this kind of pet food, do you have that? They buy the hats, they buy the sunglasses, and the pet accessories. And I said, these are the people that I want to see what's in the garbage as they come in, because I want them to know very clearly what kind of a store they're coming into. So the next morning when I had all of this in the dumpster, I had comments from a few of them.
What'd they say?
Well, they weren't very happy. They said, quite obviously, you're not in the pet accessory business anymore. And I said, you got that right.
And is that what you said? You got that right?
I most certainly did say that. I said, you got that right. And they said, where's all the dog food? And I said, life is too short for me to be wasting space in my store with food for animals that is of a higher grade than a lot of the baby food we have. And I said to them, if I could get away with relabeling some of this and calling it baby food, I would.
You wouldn't really do that, would you?
Well, I mean, why not? I mean, some of that food, as I said, is of a higher quality, has more nutrition and more vitamins in it than much of the really expensive baby food that we have. And it's cheaper, and it's better. So I said to them, I'm not going to go. I said, that is an abomination. And we had words, you know.
Well, Bob, you're a very outspoken guy, especially a guy that works with the public as much as you do. By getting rid of pet accessories such as the chew toys and the dog sweaters and all this stuff, and getting rid of all of this dog and cat food, you've alienated, obviously, a lot of people.
Well, no, I don't think so, Phil. People will just know we don't go into Fraser Foods, to go grocery shopping for dogs. And frankly, if that's the way they think, I'm grateful. I don't want people to think, oh, let's stop in at Fraser Foods and pick up a sweater for our cat. It's ridiculous, you know. And
no, I understand that. All right. We'll see if we'll get some comments from people on this. My own feeling is, and the reason why I wanted to have you on the show is, I for some reason, I'm troubled by this. I understand that you have a good point of view.
Well, what do you mean, troubled?
Well, I understand that your intentions are good. But for some reason, I just think that getting rid of dog food and dog accessories and cat accessories... Because you, I don't know, you know.
It's, Phil, we've got people that are starving to death out there, and I'm wasting my time and my patience on answering some old lady's question about a cat sweater. No way, not anymore. Maybe that was Bob Green a year ago, but not anymore.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. In the middle of a recession, economic downturn, is it proper to be selling dog and cat accessories, cat food, cat condominiums, dog sweaters, cat hats? Bob Green has eliminated all of the pet food and pet accessories from his store. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Robert Green on the line with us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, as we talk about these down economic times, tough, tough times. You know, Bobby, it was funny. I stopped. I got gas today, and I was looking at the price of the gas I was getting, 87 octane, and it was right off the freeway in Westlake Village, California, and it was $3.71 a gallon. And I remember thinking, back in the 70s, when I was a young man, and we would hear about Europeans back then.
$3.50 a gallon.
Exactly. $3.50 a gallon, or whatever, it was 3 pounds, or about the same thing, though. And I remember thinking, how the hell can they afford that?
We had no idea how good we had it, Phil. And you're right. The Europeans were paying an enormous amount of money for gasoline. And we never thought that that would happen in the United States. Well, it's happened, and, you know, just like I said, Phil, you know, knock wood that you and I are healthy, we're working. There's a lot of people that are not. And I'm selling pet toys. I remember when I got home that night, and I was cooking, and the kids were running around, and it was a little hectic, and I'm in my dress shirt, I got my sleeves rolled up, I'm trying to get some soup going. I'm cooking a stew. I got there trying to get the kids to sit down and shut up, and you know, and I got this empty pot in my hand that I'm about to put Lipton soup into, and I said to them, and I was telling the kids, you know, boy, all this cat food and dog food we got, and my son goes, almost like Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake, Phil, you know.
Uh-huh.
I said, he says, well, have the poor people eat the dog food, and almost instinctively, I came across with my right hand like I was swinging to hit a baseball, except it was my son's head, and I hit him with a soup pot.
I hope the kid's okay.
He's fine. He's like his old man. He's got a head like a rock. And I did apologize to him, and I said, Richard, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're saying. And at a time like this, well, we've got so many people suffering, and you're coming on like Marie Antoinette. And of course, he goes, who's Marie Antoinette? And he's all rubbing his head and crying. I said, I'll tell you who she was. You got a soup pot against the head? She doesn't have a head. And then he started to laugh because he thought I was kidding. I said, I'm not kidding. And then the littlest one, Mary, said, no, Richard, it's true, because she'd studied Marie Antoinette. And we started talking about guillotines, and believe it or not, that lightened the mood, if you can believe that, talking about beheading people. But
oh, man. What a family. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Bob is talking about getting rid of cat toys, getting rid of dog toys, getting rid of pet accessories because of the tough economic times that we're in. And you've got a lot of customers that are upset with you. Let's go to Jay. We got Jay on the Phil Hendry Show. And Jay, what is your comment? You're on with Bob Green. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Bob. I'm calling from Reno, Nevada, and I grew up in Fullerton, and I really
yes,
never
sir.
Heard of Fraser Foods. Are you a newer store? Or?
Yes, we are.
Oh, I see, because I've been gone for like 20, 30 years now. But my comment is, it's like any other product. If you go into the store, sometimes it's a convenience just to pick up pet products rather than go shopping there and then go to a pet store, let's say. It's like if you quit selling milk or something, people are going to have to go somewhere else to get their milk.
Sodium milk? What is that?
No, I said if people are at a store and they need a product for their pet rather than go to a pet store or whatever, they can get all their shopping done at one store. So if you quit selling...
Well, no, I know what the thinking is behind having... I understand that. I've been in retail for a lot of years. I'm saying that I don't carry that anymore because I don't want to sell products to people so their pets are comfortable while we have, you know, uncomfortable human beings out there.
Well, what about people?
I would rather a pet. Let me put it this way: I'd rather a dog die of starvation than a human.
Boy, that's okay, a stark choice.
What about people that don't have children but they have pets and they have disposable income? Their children are like.
I think what they should do with that income is give it to the needy, give it to a poor, you know, one of these food banks or something. Give it over to the whoever you can think of in terms of assisting people. And your dog and your cat, you have disposable income, and the thing you're going to do is buy a cat condo? Wow.
Well, my mom used to tithe 10% for charity and for people and things like that with her church, but she
I can't take that.
What do you mean you can't take it?
It's the more this guy talks, the more angry I get thinking about some of these people.
Well, what about his mother? She's giving this to a church.
Don't ask me anything else about his mother. I don't want to.
All right.
I'm sorry. I don't want to insult you, Jay, but I can't stand hearing it.
Well, anyway,
her mother gives, she gives 10% to a church. Why doesn't she give 10% to a cat? It's the same thing.
No, giving 10% to a church is giving 10% to humans.
No, to a church, you said, not to an organization. You said a church?
Yes, that's what he said.
You might as well give it to a cat.
She has a dog.
You might as well give it to a cat. You might as well give it to a cat, not a dog, a cat.
All right, thanks for your call anyway, Jay. 877-876 Phil, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That guy sounded like he was... That gentleman sounded like the very person I'm talking about, a guy that needs a hot meal and a bed to sleep in rather than standing all night under a freeway overpass calling talk shows.
And that's not what... How do you know he's doing that?
Because I just... Believe me.
877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go down to another phone call here. Glenn, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Glenn, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? Just
fine.
Driving towards California,
yes,
now,
sir.
And I just couldn't help but notice talking about, you know, takeaway pet toys or whatever like that. And having served my country for 23 years and 3 tours in Iraq, one thing I'm proud of is the freedom. And regardless of what the recession is or our country is, you know, people have a right to buy whatever they feel like they want to buy. And by someone not putting it in their store, they're going to go to another store. But still, what gives you the right to deny somebody what they've earned their money for and decided that they want to spend their money for?
Well, look, let me put it this way, sir. First of all, thank you for your service to our country. Did you go to Iraq to die for your country or to die for someone's poodle? I think you'd say you didn't go to die, but you would give your life for your country, not for a kennel filled with poodles. And I would not ask that of you. And I wouldn't ask that of any soldier. I want our soldiers to come home safe, having killed the enemy to protect America, not some old lady's poodle. And that's the thing that made me angry. That I know good young men like you are over there, and we've got poor people that can't eat, you know, we got tough economic times in America. We've had them before, but thought that some poodle is going to sit there in a sweater and sleep in a bed.
Liberty.
Okay, hold on. I tell you what you do for me. Glenn, you hang on the line, Glenn. I'm going to be right back with you. So don't worry. We're not going to lose your call. And we'll be back with Robert Greene. We have to break. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't go anywhere.
Wait a minute. I was saying the old lady's poodle.
Phil Hendry.
Come on.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now, that's interesting. You got to tell the story. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. With me is Robert Greene from Fraser Foods, as he talks about taking a very bold step in his store, and that is getting rid of all the pet accessories and pet food, because for Bob, carrying those kinds of things in the middle of down economic times doesn't make any sense, is almost an insult to humans. And has run the risk of losing the favor and the patronage of his pet-owning people. This is an interesting comment you made. when you hit your son with that pot, you say that there had been an ongoing feud?
Phil, no, I wouldn't call it an ongoing feud. What happened was the week before, we have a boat. I've got a small inboard runabout. I got an Evinrude, a couple of Evinrudes on the back, and I take the kids out sometimes, and we go bonita fishing and this kind of thing. And we went out with a friend of my son, Richard's, and this boy had never been out on the ocean before. He had he originally came to California with his family from Denver. So they were landlocked people, and I decided to have some fun with the kid, and I was skipping some waves, and the boy started to cry, and I was very sorry. I didn't mean to upset him, but my son ever since then had been sort of breaking my you-know-whats until finally it escalated to the point where, we had to get some bad blood out, and I went ahead and went at him with a soup pot after he, came at me. So
you say that your son came at you when he said, feed the poor the dog food.
Oh, it was definitely, yeah. He was trying to be a smartass. There's no question about it. But I shouldn't have hit him with the pot.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. And
well, what do you think about the kid?
I think it's cruel if it's a child to scare that kid.
Okay, that surprises me. Yeah.
Why would that surprise you? How old was the boy?
About 11. But I wasn't going to capsize the boat.
You know, people that have never been out on the ocean before in a craft of any kind, it's like people that have never flown before. It's a little scary for them. It's scary,
What does that mean, scary? You mean, what are they telling me that they can't swim?
It doesn't matter if you can swim or not, man. Being in all of that water is frightening. It's frightening. I know I'm a damn good swimmer, and I've been out in the ocean many times, and it's still a little daunting for me to think about capsizing a boat out there. So you asked me my opinion. I'm giving you my opinion. I'm going to get back to our caller, Glenn. Glenn, I'm sorry we had to interrupt you, but you go right ahead, sir, with your comment.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. Just like I said.
Yes, sir.
I believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if that means that somebody needs to go buy a shirt for their cat or dog or a toy, regardless of the situation our country is in, they have the right to do so. And if we stopped at where would it end? What else would we cut out? What else would we stop? We don't live in Russia. That's all I have to say.
Well, you're right, sir. And I would say again that I'm not asking for a federal law to eliminate the sale of these things. But I am saying that as retailers, as merchants, which is what I am, and I have my business, thanks in part to the great work of yourself and your comrades in the armed forces, I got to do something that's right for America. I got to do something that's right by you guys, and it's right for my country. And what I'm doing to be a patriot is, I frankly could care if every dog in America starved slowly.
Boy, that almost sounds un-American.
What are you talking about?
You want dog? People love dogs.
I can't hear you, Phil. There's something wrong with the phone. It's going like that.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I said it's almost un-American.
What is?
Wanting dogs to starve slowly?
Ask the soldier. He's a soldier. He was in Iraq. Is Glenn there? Glenn.
Yes, sir.
I'm Mr. Green. I'm Bob Green. Wouldn't you agree that dogs... Well, probably you wouldn't want dogs to starve, but you know what I mean.
No, I mean, dogs are, if you look, as we were in Iraq, many times we'd pick up stray dogs and use them as mascots because it helped the morale of the soldiers, when you're out there and literally hell on earth, where it's 140 degrees in the summertime and, in the teens in the wintertime, you need something to boost your morale and dogs or cats, per se, help fill that void of, being a human.
Well, but when you guys came home, what'd you do with the dog?
Some units they request, they'd request you to bring them back to the States, and some of them have. Other times we'd just pass them on to the other units that were coming in to fill us, and they would just take over from there and, care and feed the animals.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really cool. I don't know if a lot of Americans know that. That's awesome.
If you guys say it's awesome, but here's a dog that's taking rations out of the mouth of a soldier.
Oh, come on. The soldiers want to do it. Do you understand, Bob? They don't mind feeding that animal.
health and welfare. It's a mental, when you're going through a lot of things, you know, in a combat zone, that little comfort of, you know, that animal there, it does help a lot. We use it a lot.
Exactly.
We use dogs and snipping out bombs and other stuff, things that help us in our missions over there anyway.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you have some kind of dog food? What do you guys have for dog food?
Yes,
what do you use? I mean,
we buy dog food, or we give them some of our MREs.
You guys buy dog food? See, that's what I'm saying. This is taxpayer dollars, and they're shipping dog food. So Alpo has got themselves in. Well, that's great. Must be nice to be Alpo.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, we're talking about soldiers now. Listen, Glenn, thanks very much, and thank you for your service to our country. Appreciate it, man. Have a good evening. 877-876-PHIL.
You know, Phil, he's a soldier. You're not. So when you're saying, hey, thanks, man, don't get too buddy-buddy. I mean,
hey, you know something, Bob? The more you talk,
the less you like it?
Exactly. For a minute there, I'm thinking, well, you know, I can understand his attitude about dog food and this and that. Now you're bitching at some soldier because they're feeding a stray dog. Can you imagine being a stray dog in Iraq?
Well, I can tell you one thing. I can't believe they've got strays. You figure with all of the roadside bombs and the mortars, you know, the dog population.
All right, I understand what you're saying. Are you trying to be funny?
Phil, do you think it's funny, dead dogs?
You do?
No, I don't. I said it's necessary. How dare you think I think it's funny?
877-876-PHIL.
I'm going to say it again. How dare you think I think it's funny?
Well, you're making some very inappropriate comments, I think. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joe on the Phil Hendry Show. Joe, go ahead.
Okay, now you said you got away with all your dog food, cat food, all the accessories for animals, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct, yeah.
Okay, I don't blame you to a certain point.
Thank you.
If somebody wants to sell cat food and dog food, it should be picked up from a pet store. They sell nothing but pet food and pet supplies.
But in the middle of a recession, and with that soldier talking, you know, we got guys in Iraq, you're telling me you want to have pet stores? I don't understand the need for these. That's the point that I'm making.
Number one, if somebody wants to have a pet, if they can afford a pet and they can afford their kids and take care of both at the same time, there ain't a problem with that.
Except for one thing. The pet store that sells the pet sweaters and binoculars and any other asinine thing, that's taking up space that we could put a 7-Eleven in, or, well, okay.
Oh, we need more of those, that's for sure. A 7-Eleven.
Well, okay. You know what I mean, though.
No, I tell you what, how about another Starbucks?
You know something, Phil, you can make all the smart-ass comments you want, but the fact is, we need another store, so we've got a big fat supply of pet food, so that when a homeless guy walks by, he can feel real good about life.
Well, if a homeless guy walks by and he feels bad about life, then he should be going down to a homeless shelter, and somebody should be donating food to those homeless shelters to help.
Aha! Uh-huh. Right there. Okay, you just stepped in it. Right there, you stepped in it. So the homeless guy goes down to some sewer to eat, and the cat gets to live in a condo. That's what you just said. And that's what I find to be un-American.
No, the guy didn't say go down to a sewer.
Well, that's what a cat's doing. The cat's sleeping on a bed, wearing clothes, and eating food. I mean, that's what a human is supposed to do, not a cat.
The point that the man's making is
the gentleman,
and I know that you did when you called in, Joe, and I can almost see your point, Bob, as well, but the fact is, you're saying because we've got a bad economic situation in the country that we might as well just kill all of our pets.
No, I didn't say that.
What was this thing about slow starvation of dogs?
I said I'd rather see all the dogs starve slowly than have one human being die. That's how much I value human life.
Okay, well, value your life. Okay, fine. But
that's ridiculous.
Your animals.
All right. Thank you for your call, sir. 877. You're right, sir. 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, you really blew that. You're right, sir. Yeah, get out of here. I mean, Phil, I'm trying to talk to these people.
I don't think I said get out of here. I am trying to move on to another call.
Well, I'm trying to, you know, that gentleman was on my side, and I think you should have given me a little bit of an opportunity to sort of to revel in that moment that there's a guy that agrees with me, and the two of us can tell you where to stick it, if you'll pardon my expression, because that's what you do with me. And
I don't tell you where to stick it, Bob. I'm just telling you that I am arguing with your point. You're right. And your point is that there shouldn't be any sale of dog, cat, and all this other stuff because of the tough economic...
You know what? Have you tried a dental dam or a...
Okay, you know something? Your smart-ass comments aside...
You were the one that made the smart-ass comment about Starbucks and all of that. That's what the record show you did that. I didn't do that. You did that.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. I'm telling you that you can have the world you want, Phil, and not have cat sweaters. Cat sweaters. God almighty, will you listen to me? Cat sweaters?
I hear you. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Sophie on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Sophie.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that...
good morning.
Good morning, Robert. That Robert would make a bigger and better statement if he sold the dog food and the cat food and the accessories and took that money and donated it to the poor. And my second point is that, Robert, do you love your children?
Of course I do. I love them a lot more than getting a cat a sweater.
Well, you know, you have a job to do. You have a business to take care of. That business puts food on your table. If you didn't do well in your business, because people are not going to come to your store with your attitude, then you're not going
to
have any money left. You're not going
to
have any money left to feed your own children, and they'll starve to death slowly.
Not carrying pet accessories isn't going to break me. Not carrying pet accessories is something that makes a statement. It makes the political statement is the following thing. I wouldn't insult a homeless person by putting hats and shoes on a dog.
Well, what about selling the stuff and giving it to the poor?
I think it's obscene. I think I would. I'm Catholic, and I would have to go to reconciliation.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious.
You think it's a mortal sin?
I think it would blacken my soul, yes. Blacken my soul.
Well, hold on for a minute, Sophie. Forgive me, Sophie, but...
No.
Because I'm Catholic, too. You're telling me that by selling these accessories, your soul would be blackened and you would go to hell.
If I were to die, yes.
Well, I think you're nuts now. I think you got something wrong with you.
Wow. Boy, that takes guts. You think that, Sophie?
I think he needs to go to a psychiatrist.
Aha. Here we go. Monkey see, monkey do. Mr. Hendry says it, so now Sophie says it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you should apologize to Sophie for calling her a... God, man.
I didn't call her a monkey. I said monkey see, monkey do. It's a figure of speech.
And another thing, Robert, you always refer to old ladies with poodles. Now, what of that kind of statement you have? What do you have against the old people?
Ma'am, I don't have anything against them, but they are generally the ones that come into my store and ask me, "Where are the socks for my dog? Do you have a muffler for my cat? Do you have a robe for my dog?" These ridiculous things, and it's always some elderly woman holding a poodle like it's a newborn,
and it disturbs me. And this elderly woman probably has very few things in her life right now, and that little poodle brings so much joy to her, and you want to take that joy away? You're a kook.
No, I don't think I'm bringing it. If it gives her so much joy, why does she have to come to the store and buy a beanie for it? Understand that we are now carrying dog beanies? I never thought that I'd ever see that.
Dog beanies?
Yeah, you got it. And some of our Jewish, now get this, some of our Jewish customers, for a laugh, want us to carry dog yarmulkes. I said, I'm not going to do that. I think it's probably sacrilegious.
They must have been pulling your leg.
I don't know.
Listen, Sophie, thank you very much. Go ahead. One more question. Yeah, go ahead, Sophie.
Oh, I was going to say...
Am I going to talk to her all night, or do I get to talk to somebody else?
The lady wants to ask you another question.
I would think that Robert, if I was in his town and I knew his attitude, I would picket his store. And I would make sure that no one went into his store and buy things for him and let him starve to death slowly. Goodbye.
All right. Okay. And then they would probably, then I'd have to point out, there's that lady Sophie. She has a beanie for her cat. And then people would laugh at you, and you wouldn't have friends.
Oh, no, 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 no.
You notice she went, oh, no, 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 and she hung up?
No, unfortunately, I had to cut her off. I apologize, Sophie.
Boy, you wouldn't apologize to me if you cut.
No, you're right. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back with our final segment with Robert Greene.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. If you want to watch us on Phil TV and HD, get a backstage pass to philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, and you can actually watch the show as we perform it each and every night. And those of you that are watching Phil TV and HD, there's our camera number one, and here comes camera number three. And, of course, our standard shot camera number two there. And that picture behind me, by the way, is of the, that's the Modern Family makeup crew. Those guys were in makeup tonight as we went over to Modern Family and shot a scene. We're with Robert Greene here on the Phil Henry Show. Time for a few more calls in this segment as we talk about Mr. Greene's decision. And this is a chain-wide decision to forego the sale of pet food, to forego the sale of pet accessories. He finds it... Almost a sin, an affront to human beings during a very difficult economic time to sell this kind of product while people are suffering. No more pet accessories, no more pet food. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Mark on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Mark. You're on with Robert Greene.
Yeah, Mr. Greene, the proudest thing I have is you openly admit you sell pet food with more nutrition than a lot of your baby food. Is that correct?
That is true of some of the canned foods
have more
nutritional value than some of the Gerber's baby food, yes.
Okay, yes. So at what point does that give you the audacity to smack your kid with a soup pot? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you can feed more homeless, hungry people more nutritional animal food than they could buy in baby food, what would be the
well, because I wouldn't be, because I wouldn't insult a human being to feed them something that was created for a dog. I don't care if it is more nutritious. What I would do, though, is I would go back to that company and I'd say, if you want to repackage this as food for human beings...
Well, what difference does it make?
It makes a big... So, in other words, you and Mark here, you guys would open up a can of Sheba gourmet cat food and pour it out onto a plate for a human being. And what would you do then, laugh?
No, we wouldn't do that.
If I was hungry, I would eat it. That's what would happen.
I'll bet you would.
Before I starve. But now,
I bet you would.
Question.
What if I stood there laughing at you while you're eating it?
Well, that's fine too. I've been laughed at before. I got one more question for you.
Are you kidding me? Any guy that feeds me cat food, I'll tell you what. That's the last cat food he serves. That'll be the last cat food he serves a cat.
Okay, we got you. Go ahead, Mark.
How many homeless people do you feed when you're out riding around with them twin Evinrudes?
What do you mean, how many homeless? I don't feed homeless people. I got a grocery store.
Yeah, well, I just want to know because, I mean, you know, that same feeling you get out of riding around on your little boat riding around on the ocean, some people get that same feeling out of their pets. So, I mean, you know, to each their own.
Well, really? So, in other words, sir, boy... That you just said a whole lot there because the thrill
I
get out of, I know you did, because the thrill I get out of being on my powerboat, the people would have to have sex with their pets to get the same thrill.
Well, what is that? What does that mean?
I don't know what this guy just said.
That's what you just said.
You weren't about.
No, he didn't
people.
Say that.
You weren't about. Said, yeah, you did. You can bet they're laughing at you out there riding around having sex on your boat. I ain't tell you that.
I'm not. You never had sex on a boat? You ought to try it. With a woman. What is he laughing? That hillbilly's laughing at me?
Well, you're talking about having sex with your boat.
I said you'd have to have sex with a cat.
Phil Henry.
Get the hillbilly back, please.